Today we're going to continue our 3-in-1 series. We're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're in the middle of now talking about who the Holy Spirit is and how it relates to us. We've been several weeks talking about Jesus, the Son. Now we're in the middle of talking about the Holy Spirit. And what we have decided is this, is that He is God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the God Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so today, we cannot separate the Holy Spirit and say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in God the Father, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Because either all three are true and relevant for our life, or all three are false in a fairy tale. And we have to make a decision. Which one is it? We can't just say, I'm going to believe in part of the Trinity and not all of the Trinity. It's either all for us or it's all not. And so we are discovering that, man, the Holy Spirit really is a big part of every believer's life. And if you're not learning to understand that and understand to develop that, we've been talking about that He is God, He is our friend, and He's not weird. We said that He's our friend. And what else? We know today that the Holy Spirit, it can be my best friend. Dang, He can be my best friend. Last week we talked about that thought, the Holy Spirit, my best friend. And I had so many of you tell me, man, I've been getting up every morning saying, let's go, Holy Spirit, let's roll, let's do it, let's do this thing. You've been talking to the Holy Spirit and it's changing your day. Some of you have told me that, man, the light's coming on. I feel like I've been gypped. I feel like I've been missing a big part of my Christian walk because I've never understood how important and how personable the Holy Spirit was into the part of every believer. So we're in the middle of this thing. Today I'm gonna ask you this. You know, we don't wanna grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Do you want to grieve the Holy Spirit? No, none of us want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And why would the Holy Spirit be grieved? It grieves a loss of relationship. And so when we have the Holy Spirit, but we're not walking in the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit because it grieves the loss of our relationship. And so I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to become my best friend. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me into all truth. Today I'm going to ask this question. You'll really like this topic today. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Let's talk about it. Is the Holy Spirit Pentecostal? Is the Holy Spirit Pentecostal? Now, as soon as I say the word Pentecostal, right away, people's faces went, ah, what's he going to talk about today? Some of you said, amen. Some of you said, oh my. Some of you said, I don't know. Some of you said, maybe, I don't know. You know, when we say the word Pentecostal, right away, we have a gamut of emotions that immediately flood the room because we've heard so many things about this word Pentecostal out there. And so if I'm talking about the word Pentecostal, if you think I'm talking about the way that, you know, Pentecostal when it comes as a Holy Spirit Pentecostal, as far as can ladies, can you wear pants? Can you wear makeup? Is your hair in bondage, you know, bondage? If we're talking about that, that's what I'm talking about. We used to call those churches the NFC, you know. When I was growing up, we called that the NFC. No fun church. The no fun church, you know. Everything that's fun is a sin, you know. And even though there's some great people in those churches, even though there's some great people, Pentecostal, when you take it to the extreme, has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It has to do with legalism. And so, but because of that, it's allowed us to be fearful of that word Pentecost because we've heard it used in some very extreme context. Some churches have taken it and gone to the extreme legalism with it. And therefore, it's caused kind of the stereotypical thing where we don't have to use that word Pentecostal anymore because it kind of has a negative in society. That's why a lot of times when I'm talking to a non-believer, I'll use the word like spirit-filled. You know, I'm a spirit-filled believer. We're a spirit-filled church. Or I'll use the words, terms as a full gospel. I really like that one better because really that's who we are. We're a full gospel church. We believe in everything that the gospel has for us. We don't believe in just taking one thing out of the gospel and exhorting that over the other. We believe that the whole word of God is relevant for our life. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the full gospel. And so I use that term a lot with non-believers. And so sometimes we have to be careful how we use that. You know, I believe in it, though. I believe in the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in our life. And, you know, how many believe in water baptism? Anybody believe in water baptism? Yeah, we believe in that, right? But let me make a point to you. What I'm trying to say is this. Just because I've been water baptized and just because I believe in water baptism doesn't mean I have to call myself Baptist. Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong. We have a lot of great friends, a lot of awesome churches that are doing great things for God. I'm not slamming any Baptist. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. I'm not here to say anything about that name, but what I'm saying, just because I've been water baptized doesn't mean I have to say I'm Baptist. And just because I believe in the fruits of the Spirit, just because I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't mean I have to call myself Pentecostal. Are you following me? Okay? But it's important that we understand the fulfillment of Pentecost. Every believer needs to understand the fulfillment of Pentecost, how it relates to our life, what that really meant to us as believers. It really has a lot of weight to us as believers. It's such an important role in our life. If we don't understand the fulfillment of Pentecost, we're missing out on an important part of the Holy Spirit operation in our life on a daily basis. So, how many want to understand? Pastor, I wish you would really break it down today to define what Pentecost really means to me. Anybody want to? Okay, all right, we're going to do that. I've had this conversation with several of you in the past, and so this message is dedicated to those personally. You know who I'm talking to this morning. Okay. Today, we must understand this word Pentecost, and let's go ahead and get right into it. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, talks about the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Remember, had fully come. This is the fulfillment of Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. It sat upon each one of them, and they were all, how many? They said to get all filled. They were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we see something here. Pentecost was the one of three major feasts that God had set up in the Old Testament for the children of Israel to follow and to observe. He gave three main feasts. The first feast was the Feast of Passover. Then we had the Feast of Pentecost, and then we had the Feast of Tabernacle. Three main feasts. Passover, remember, was set by God to remember when Moses commanded the people, by God's instruction, take the pure lamb, sacrifice it, take the blood, and put it over your doorway, so that when the death angel passes, it will go over your home, and the blood will cover you and allow that death angel, that judgment, to pass over your home. Remember that happened? And of course, after that happened, Moses, Pharaoh said, hey, take your people, get out of here, leave me. And so it became a symbol of remembering when God, the blood lamb was slain, that the blood lamb was applied to our doorway of our life, and we were set free. It brought redemption. It brings set free. It lets us loose from Pharaoh's bondage. And so God said, remember this. So he set up a feast, a Passover, remembering the night that the blood was applied and the death angel passed and judgment passed over. And so Passover became a big feast. It became the Feast of Passover, remembering how God had delivered them through the blood of the Lamb. Remember that. Now remember this, that Pentecost, some of you think, well, okay, Pastor, what is really the definition of Pentecost? What does it mean? It's really not that deep, and I really want to give it to you this because it's really simple to understand when you define it and look at it. Sometimes we've made it out to be this really word that's kind of mystical, but it's really not. The word Pentecostal simply means this. Penti means what? Penti means to the five, right? Five. Costal translates to the 10th power. So if you do 5 times 10, what is that? 50, right? 50. Some of you getting your calculators. I'm really worried about you this morning, okay? 50. Pentecostal simply means 50. Some of you have been saying you're 50 long after you passed the age of 50. Some of you have been calling yourself 50 before you were ever 50. But when you say I'm Pentecostal, what you really, if you really want to be honest, you're saying I'm 50. Because that's what it means, 50. And the reason why it's called Pentecostal, the word 50 is simply this, that he also ordained after Passover. He said, remember, 50 days after Passover, I want you to have the Feast of Pentecost. And why was that important? Because 50 days after the original Passover, what happened? The fire of God was leading the children of Israel. Remember, now they're out in the desert. The fire of God's leading them, the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. And it says that pillar of fire set on Mount Sinai. And God told Moses, you lead the people at the bottom of the mountain. You get to the top of the mountain. I want to meet with you face to face. I want to speak to you. And so the people stayed there. Moses made the trip up the mountain. God gives him the 10 commandments there. And God shows up. So God said, I want you to remember, set aside, remember, 50 days, Pente, 50 days, 50 days after Passover, I want you to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, because 50 days after the blood's lamb was applied, God spoke to Moses face to face. The fire God set upon the mountain, and God spoke to Moses face to face and gave him the law, the Ten Commandments. So remember that. Remember that story? And so they're there, and it's happening, and things are happening. Thank you very much. And as they're doing this, what happens? Remember, Moses is coming down off the mountain, and what happens after he comes down off the mountain? He's coming down off the mountain, and on his way down from the mountain, they broke every Ten Commandment there was before they ever even got the Ten Commandments. They'd already broken all the Ten Commandments. I mean, it says that they were worried, because here's Moses on top of the mountain. He's there for a while. They're like, he must be dead. God, this whole encounter with God, remember, they knew that if you met God, that you could die. You know, they were not worthy. And so they're like, well, God must have killed Moses. You know, he's not coming back. So they started getting fearful. All of a sudden, they started going back to their old ways, building idols. They built the golden calf, and they're doing all kinds of hideous things, things that just, you know, the wildest things you can think of. They're doing all down there, doing these things, wicked, wild things happening in front of this statue, this calf they had made. So Moses comes down. He sees it. He gets angry. Remember, he throws down the tablets, and he kicks the idol over into the fire. He rebukes them all. He pushes out some really hard punishment to them, makes them drink some ash water. I mean, it was just really, really horrible, all this stuff he was saying. And then he made a line. He said, listen, if you're going to serve God, then come with me. But if you're going to serve, you know, this idols, if you don't want to follow me, you stay here. But the rest of us, we're going forward, and you better make it clear you're serving God. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? You know, choose. And it says that all of them repented, and they went back and said, yeah, Moses, we're going to follow you, follow God. We're going to go. It says all but 3,000 of them. Remember that number. All but 3,000 people went with Moses. And then that day, the 3,000 who did not choose to follow God, they died that day. They were put to death that day. They died. So 3,000 people died in one day because they chose not to follow God. Now, remembering that, and God says, now remember this day. Remember this day. Set it aside. 50 days after Passover, I want you to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, because it's a remembering the day that God showed up with the fire and God wrote the law and gave it to Moses and passed down the law to Moses. You remember that. Remember that day. Remember that day. And so they're celebrating the Feast of Passover, and then they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus died on Passover. Do you know that? Do you realize when Jesus died, the morning that Jesus died, that he was crucified on the morning of Passover. Think about that. Do you think Pilate and Herod had any idea what they were doing? They had no idea what they were doing was fulfillment of the Passover. That when Jesus was dying on the cross, he was fulfilling the ultimate Passover. What did he have to do with Passover? Passover, the lamb, the pure lamb, had to be sacrificed, the blood applied. Remember that? And so we know through Scripture, I spent this time talking about our lamb in Scripture, that the whole thing about Jesus was he became our perfect lamb. So Jesus became the fulfillment of Passover. And so Jesus was actually crucified on Passover morning. And if you think about it, really, let's do the math in our head here. Jesus died on Passover. And then, wouldn't it be cool if 50 days after that the Holy Spirit was poured out? Let's do the math. So, Jesus was in the grave for how many days? 3 days. It says that he walked the earth for 40 days after he resurrected from the grave. And then it says he told them to go and wait in the upper room, and they were waiting for 10 days. So, wait a minute. Let's do that. 3, 40, 10, that's 53. Wow, so close, isn't it? I mean, so close. Wouldn't that have been awesome if way back then that God would have had hit the number right on the nail right on the head exactly when he wanted the Holy Spirit to come? I mean, wouldn't that have been really cool? Think about it. But this is the great news. See, God was way ahead of all of us. God had a plan all along. Let's find out what that plan was all the way back in the book of Leviticus. Let's see what he says here in Leviticus chapter 23, when it makes absolutely no sense to them why he's doing this. This is the instructions God gave them when it came to Passover and to the Feast of Pentecost. He's talking about when you celebrate. He said, when you celebrate this, count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep and the wave offerings. This is all happening. This is all a part of Passover celebrations. He said, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Count 50 days after. Basically what this translates is this. He was saying when Passover ends on a Friday, you're supposed to wait until the morning after the Sabbath, which had been Sunday, to start counting to celebrate. Now, that may not seem like a good deal to you, but if you do the math, that if you take Jesus was killed and crucified when? On the Friday. So if you start counting from the Sunday after that, 50 days to the exact day, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. The fulfillment of Pentecost happened. Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Are you not understanding and seeing this? This should get you really, really excited as a believer, because when you understand this, it really unlocks everything when it comes to the Holy Spirit in our life. It really understands. Why is this important? Because God says celebrate it 50 days. Look at this. Why is this important? God had a plan all along for our redemption. It was the cross. And he also had a plan all along for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He had a plan all along for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This should build your faith level up that he had a plan all along for us. What was that plan? The plan was this, that during Passover, we would apply the blood. Why are we applying this blood? Why are we sacrificing the lamb? They have no idea why they're doing this. Every year, why are we sacrificing? Why are we doing this? They have no idea that Jesus was going to send. I mean, God was going to send his son, Jesus, the lamb, to die for the covering of our sins. They had no idea that Jesus was going to be fulfillment of the Passover. And then they had no idea when he set up Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, and he says, I want you to remember when God showed up with fire upon the mountain and spoke to Moses face to face. But when the feast had happened at Pentecost, and the day of Pentecost had fully come, God shows up there, and he set a plan into motion. See, way back then, God had a plan for Jesus to redeem the world. And way back then, God had a plan for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you following this? Way back then, God had a plan for Jesus to bring redemption. And way back then, he had a plan for you and I to walk back in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. To walk back in fellowship with God. To walk back into the place that Adam and Eve ruined for us in the garden, the place where they could walk with God, they could hear from God, they could talk with God, they could experience everything God had for them. Now he sets it up where Jesus restores back the relationship and he sends the Holy Spirit to bring us back into the right relationship with God. What an amazing thing. And when you understand that, wow, God, it's always been your plan all along that I walk in the Spirit, that I be filled with the Spirit. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Let's look at this in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. And then we're going to read also verse 11. Look what it says here. And there they were dwelling in Jerusalem, the Jews, devout men, from every nation. Where were they from? This is important, okay? So on the day of Pentecost, they were in Jerusalem, and at that time, there was men, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the rushing of the mighty wind we just heard about, the Holy Spirit being poured out, look what happens. The multitude came together. So all these people from different nations, different people groups, different languages all show up to see what's happening here. And they're confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these people who are all speaking our language, are they not Galileans? And the reason why this is important was because Galileans were considered some of the lowest education in this whole people group that were there. But you gotta say, aren't these people Galileans? They don't have Rosetta Stone, okay? They had no idea. They have not had anybody teach them how to speak all these different languages that are there. But now the Holy Spirit's being poured out, and they're speaking now. They don't even understand what they're saying, but they're speaking in a different language. And it just so happens They're speaking the language of the world, and all the people groups are hearing, and they're hearing somebody speak their language. Now, I hear someone over here speaking my language, and I hear someone over here speaking my language. And, oh, this person's speaking my language. And this one, and what were they saying? They had no idea what they were saying, but what they didn't realize is, it says they were speaking what? Their own tongues, in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So can you imagine this? You tell me God doesn't have a plan. God orchestrates the day of Pentecost to the 50 days, to the time we're supposed to celebrate Passover, right, to the feast of Pentecost. He sends his Holy Spirit to come. Oh, by the way, they're all there celebrating. They've all come from all around the world to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. They all come to do their trading, their marketing, all right there in the most central place in the world at that time where the gospel could have got out. But the one problem, they don't know how to speak their language, but the Holy Spirit already had that figured out. The Holy Spirit poured out upon them, and they hear people saying, God is good. He was the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. He is God's only Son. God be praised. These people are hearing things happening. And they're like, wow. Jesus must have been the Messiah. This is only possible through signs and wonders are happening here. This person's speaking my language, but yet they had never had any lesson. They'd never heard us speak, and yet they're still speaking my language. And not only are they speaking language, but they're speaking fluently to me the good things of God. Can you imagine the power that when they leave there, that story spreads all around the world at the power of God showing up in signs and wonders, and the church is birthed that day, and there's some people saying, hey, wait, time out, man. These people are just drunk, man. That's what all the commotion's about. They've just been partying too hard. And people are like, no, listen, look at your watch, man. It's early in the day. We all know they may party, but they don't party right now. They're not drinking right now, okay? This isn't happening right now. What's happening is this. And Peter says, hush it down, guys. Let me tell you a story. And Peter gets up. Now, this is the same Peter who just a few days earlier had denied Christ. Remember, he was hiding out. He'd been restored back now as a disciple. The Holy Spirit falls upon him in the upper room. He's a part of that group. Now, with boldness, he gets up and says, shut it down, guys. Be quiet. Let me tell you what's happening. What you're hearing and experiencing right now, this is the fulfillment of Joel when he says that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh, upon your sons and your daughters. And he begins to preach to them and talks about this Jesus whom you crucified. And he tells them the whole story of the cross, the whole story of God's redemption plan and what God's plan was through the Holy Spirit. And these people are all there listening in amazement. He gives an altar call. And what happens that day? Anybody want to guess how many people were saved that day? 3,000 people were saved. Now let's go back, rewind back, Mount Sinai. The pillar of fire sets upon the mountain. Calls Moses up to speak to Moses face to face. God writes down the commandments on the stones. 3,000 people don't believe, and they die that day and perish. Fast forward now to the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. The fire of God now sets not upon the mountain, but now upon the upper room where Jesus commanded them to go. They go to the upper room. The fire of God sets upon not Moses, but it sets upon everyone in that room, every believer in that room. The fire of God set upon them, and God takes this law and writes it on the word of their heart. I mean, he speaks to the Spirit. Now they're housing it, and 3,000 people are redeemed. Are you not? Can we not see that this was God's plan all along, and he had a plan all the way back? All the way back in the very beginning, he had a plan of redemption through Jesus, and he had a plan of empowerment for us through the Holy Spirit. This should make you very, very happy today. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Thank him this morning. Yes, for his Holy Spirit. This was God's plan. He redeemed us. And so we see this plan happening all along. God had a plan. So the question is, can I experience Pentecost? Can we do it personally? Can we experience our own personal Pentecost? Let's answer that question. Acts 2:3, we just read it. Let's read it again. Then, as it appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each. How many? Each. Everybody say each. Each of them, not some of them, not part of them, but each of them. Each one of them received it. Each of them received it. Look what Acts 1:40, verses 4 and 5 say. This is Jesus' last words to us as he was descending to heaven, he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. It's the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John shall truly baptize you in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus promised he would send the Holy Spirit for all of us. Is water baptism for part of us? No, it's for all of us. Is the Holy Spirit for all of us? Yes, it is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. We can all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can all walk as carriers of the Holy Spirit. This is for all of us, not part of us. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. At the end of his message, we just heard about Peter saying, look what he says. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you. Look what he says. Repent and let everyone, not some of you, not part of you. He said, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall, and you shall, and you shall, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off. Isn't this amazing? Because what was happening here, the Holy Spirit was giving Peter what to say, and Peter's preaching. He says, this Holy Spirit is just not confined to the upper room, but he wants it for all of you as well. But not just you, but also to your children. And also to your children's children. And just to make it very clear, also as far off as our eyes can't even see from generation to generation to generation, that when Destiny Church is teaching about this, they will hear the promise and know that the Holy Spirit is for them today. It doesn't expire. The Holy Spirit has no expiration date. It is for us today. It's for us to walk in today, for us to live in today. Some people say, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is just a one-time event. I've had people tell me that. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I believe it was just confined to the upper room the day of Pentecost. It was a one-time event. And I say, you're very wrong. Scripture backs it up very clearly. We'll find multiple times after this, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. All through Scripture, you'll see continually that the Holy Spirit was poured out to people. Let me ask you this question. How long ago did Jesus die on the cross? Approximately 2,000 years ago, right? Approximately 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. So, the question is, since that happened 2,000 years ago, is salvation needed today? Yes. How many of you are thankful that that salvation is still relevant to my life today, in your life today? How many, we don't debate that, do we? We don't debate whether or not salvation is still needed today. Jesus died 2,000 years ago for our salvation. It is still relevant today for all of us who believe in what Jesus did on the cross. We can walk into right fellowship with God as children of God. We all believe it's relevant, and we all believe we need it today, right? It's for all people today. So the question is this I have for you. The Holy Spirit was poured out soon after that. So almost 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It wasn't confined to a one-time experience. The Holy Spirit was poured out 2,000 years ago, and we still need it today. It's still relevant today in the heart of every believer. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to use every day of our life. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It's available for us. We see the fulfillment now. Let's talk about it again. To be very clear. Fulfillment of Passover, Jesus comes, the perfect Lamb of God. Those who apply the blood to their life, they have been saved from death. They have been saved from the atonement of the judgment that comes with sin. Wow, we apply the blood to our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can apply the blood to our life. I mean, it's such a cool thing. Think about it. You know, Passover, Jesus died on Passover. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. You know what time they were instructed on Passover to kill their lamb? Just happened to be at 9 a.m. they were instructed to kill their lamb. God had direct instructions. You're to kill your lamb at 9 a.m. But this so happens to be that thousands of years later that Jesus would be killed on Passover at 9 a.m. He said, then after you take that, once you prepare the meat, I want you to put it in the oven at 3 p.m. Why? Is that irrelevant? Well, you realize they put Jesus in the grave at 3 p.m. He was put into the fire. And the Word of God says that when Jesus went into the tomb, he didn't stay there, did he? It says he went down to death, hell, and the grave and came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Came back. He rose again. Listen to me. I'm telling you, Jesus' life is a fulfillment of the Passover. The Holy Spirit being poured out was the fulfillment of Pentecost that was promised to the Feast of Pentecost way back in the Old Testament. God was painting the picture saying, I have a plan for our lives of the Holy Spirit. It was released. See, there's only one feast out of those three feasts that God said to observe. Only one feast that has not yet been fulfilled. And it was the Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle. And the Feast of Tabernacle, if you study it and read it out, it has a lot of things to do with trumpets. There's a lot of trumpets involved in the Feast of Tabernacle. There's a lot of food involved in the Feast of Tabernacle. They tab together, man. They eat together. There's also the atonement that takes place, judgment that takes place. I mean, there's a lot of things happening there. Could it be? Let's remember, what has to do with trumpets and big dinners and judgment? Jesus said this. He says, remember, that on that day of the Lord's return, the trumpet's going to sound. The trumpet's going to sound. And all of us who are believers, we're going to be caught up together in the air to meet Jesus. And we're going to dine with him. We're going to have a big spread, man. It says we're going to have a big marriage feast. Man, we're going to spend time in tabernacle with our God, with our Savior, together. So let me tell you this. In one day, the fulfillment of Passover happened in one day. The fulfillment of Pentecost happened in one day. And one day soon, the fulfillment of tabernacle will happen when we'll be caught up together to spend eternity with our Jesus. It's all happened. It's right there. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you. Today, you think, you know what? I've been waiting. Don't wait too long, okay? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I have an uncle that witnessed to for many years of our life. Many years we witnessed to him. And my mom tried to pray with him, and he just never, he was a hard man. He had lived a hard life, had a lot of hard things that happened in his life. He's been on his deathbed this past week. They called it hospice care. And on Thursday night, he said, I think it's probably about time I make things right with God. Took my mom by the hand. She led him in the sinner's prayer. Friday, he passed on to be with the Lord. And I think, you know, I'm excited that he gave his heart to God. But what a shame. What a shame that he wasted to the very last breath. And thank God he had that chance. But for many people, they never have that chance to wait to the last second. Many people don't know when they're going to go. I'm telling you, you better be ready. You better be ready because this is a very real thing. Because just as God promised the Passover, it came to pass. Just as he's promised Pentecost, it came to pass. And just as he promised tabernacle, it'll happen, okay? So we be ready. And it's nothing as a Christian, we don't fear that because we know it's the fulfillment of the promise, man. We're going to fulfillment. What we're living our life for is to spend eternity with him. And so he's given me Passover to bring Jesus back into my relationship. He's given me Pentecost to bring power back and fellowship back with God into my relationship. So I don't have to fear Pentecost. You don't have to be fearful of Pentecost. It brings when you understand what it really means. It's just the promise of the Holy Spirit being fulfilled. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I just want to ask you the question. If you're here, you say, Pastor, man, you're talking about this, and I'm realizing, man, God has a plan, and he has a plan for my life. And today I need to accept Jesus. Today I need to give my life to Jesus. Nobody's looking around but me, and we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But I just want to ask, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never done that before, and today I need to accept Jesus. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where I can see you? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. We had several this morning in the first service. How many in this service, I need to accept Jesus? Thank you. Anybody else? If you haven't raised it right now where I can see it. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. I see the hand. We're going to say this prayer together. Those of you who raised your hand, would you repeat after me? And as Christians around you, we'll say with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life today. I surrender everything I am to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a big hand, big thing, yeah. Stand on your feet this morning. If you stand up, if you prayed that prayer before you leave today, I want you to start by our welcome center. We got a free Bible we'd love to give to you as our gift to you. Inside there, it's got some information on next step, things we want you to be aware of. But how many today say, Pastor, I want a fresh relationship with the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to understand the Holy Spirit in a way I've never walked before in my life. Anybody here, that's you, you say, I'm ready for a fresh infilling of God's Spirit in my life. I'm going to invite us to come to the front. I'm letting you out a few minutes early this morning so we had time to do this, okay? If you want to come to the front and join us, we're going to close with a song. And I simply want you to make it personal. Say, God, I'm ready. God, I want to walk in a closer relationship. I want to let go of fears, maybe, of the Holy Spirit. I want to let go of preconceived things. I want a fresh influence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God to fill me fresh and anew in my life. You see, one of the crazy things it says that the Holy Spirit set upon the top of them. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, and when that translates, it means this, that tongues of fire sit on top of their head. And they were trying to see it, but they couldn't see it because you can't do this. But they could see it on somebody else's head. They could see it on somebody else. Say, man, there's tongues of fire above your head. They couldn't see it for themselves, but they could see it in somebody else. They had to accept by faith that the Holy Spirit was resting upon them. And see, it's the same thing. You got to accept it by faith. God, you sent the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I accept that you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. By faith, I believe that you sent your Holy Spirit to fill me, to empower me. Come on, let's lift our hands to Him this morning as we sing it personal to Him. Fill us, God.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
Help us sing it this morning.
Your hands, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You're allowing fears, misconceptions, not understanding, God. We've allowed things to limit our belief in the Holy Spirit. And I thank you right now, God. Those things are falling off in the name of Jesus. Just as the blood of Jesus is applied to our life, the Holy Spirit has been poured out to every believer. And all we have to do, just as we accept salvation by faith, all we got to do now is by faith say, I believe the Holy Spirit has been poured out into my life, and we can begin to walk in a new fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray right now, God, you're casting aside all fear. You're casting aside, God, anything that has kept us from walking in the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in our life. God, I pray to Father, there's a new hunger for the Holy Spirit. There's a new passion to grow in the things of the Holy Spirit in our life. Father, in Jesus' name, we want everything you have for us. We want every gift the Holy Spirit has for us, sent from the Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. Go put your hands together if you believe that word today. Now listen, every week, man, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to tell you this. In a few weeks, I'm going to be talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, what that really means, and boy, how does that relate to us? It seems so foreign to some people, but I can't understand it. I promise you, all we're going to do is just open up the Word of the Lord, see what it says, see what it means. You can be able to choose for yourself whether or not it's something you want or something you want to pray about. There'll be nothing that'll be strange that'll happen, I promise you. No one's going to do anything strange, but man, we're going to answer some tough questions because that's really a tough subject. A lot of people have a lot of questions about it, so I'm going to bring those answers simply out of the Word of the Lord and explain it to you the best that the Holy Spirit allows me to give it to you. And we're going to understand the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to understand the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit. How many are ready to continue to grow in the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you ready? All right. God bless you guys. I love you. Thank you so much for being here today. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Walk out of here knowing I'm walking with the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name.